Colossians 3, 1 to 10. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And now if we turn to 2 Corinthians 3:8, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Lorna, I think it was, did offer me a long blonde wig, wasn't it? That I could come on and kind of swish around, but I thought that might just, you know, not be quite right. So it'd be really good if you had your Bibles open and maybe kept your finger. We're going to start with Colossians. So if you start there and then have your finger maybe in the 2 Corinthians 3 verse as well. Can we just pray, though, as I start? Father God, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can come and gather together and just read it and learn from it, just openly and not in fear. Thank you for the words, your words that speak to us through it whenever we open it. Lord, and as we come to it now, Lord, would you send your Holy Spirit again just to help us to understand it, that we might be able to apply it to our lives, that we might be increasingly transformed more and more into the likeness of your Son. Amen. Okay, so who has heard of L'Oreal? Show of hands, you've all heard of L'Oreal. Who confesses to using L'Oreal products? I do, sorry? Did you not? So L'Oreal produce, as you can see from the slide, so they do kind of hair products, hair dyes, face stuff, so, you know, face cream, body lotions, all of that kind of stuff, cosmetics, and they even have a range for men, as you can see. And they've actually been around for about 100 years or so. But apart from its products, L'Oreal is quite known for its advertising and its advertising slogan. So its main catchphrase is, "Because I'm worth it." And did you know this is one of the top 20 advertising slogans of all time? Now, how old do you think this slogan is? Guesses, please. How old do you think it is? Like 90s? Okay. 90s is where I was at, because it was, for me, it was like the whole Friends generation, and it was Jennifer Aniston that was one of the things. So 90s. Anyone else? 80s. David Armitage, you have it. So 1973. It is that old. So over, well, we're going to get on to that later. Yes. Over 40 years. And, you know, curiously, it has evolved from, so it started with "I'm worth it," and it became "You're worth it." And then, actually last year, it's become "Because we're all worth it." So it's very curious, actually, the kind of journey that they have taken us on. And in 1973, when it started, and this is a photograph of someone called Joanne Dessous, who was the first model, the kind of advertising model in 1973, and it was for a hair dye. And they were trying to get you to buy a hair dye that was a bit more expensive than the other ones on the market. But what is, well, relatively interesting about it is that prior to this kind of advert, for women, the voice had actually been a man speaking for a woman. But in this advert, the woman has her own voice. And it was at a time when kind of feminism was really growing and suddenly women had a voice. And what they're saying is, I'm worth investing in. I'm worth a little bit of luxury. I'm worth spending a bit more on. And it's about me. It doesn't matter what you think, it's about what I think. It's about my self-confidence. Well, 20 or so years later, it spread to men. You know, they are slightly behind, aren't they? So who can tell me who that is? Sue at the back. David Ginola, who I am given to understand is a French footballer. I did not know, but I do now. So he took on the advertising mantle in 1997. Okay, so that's all very interesting as a way in to L'Oreal. So what are we going to look at tonight? So I'm going to look at, I've got three headings. So first of all, what the L'Oreal, because I'm worth it, slogan feeds through the eyes of the world. What is the world's seduction? Then what God speaks into this through God's solution, and then what that looks like for us in our resolution. Now, I would start, though, with a word to the men here, or the young men here. I'm very glad that you're here. I'm very glad you weren't put off by the thought of a talk that's going to be very girly and all about hair products and swishing hair. You might be worried about what you're going to go home looking like. I don't have a bag of goodies here. We're not going to be doing makeovers. You're not going to go home with shiny locks or a flawless complexion. And even some of you women might be sitting there thinking, well, actually, this isn't really for me. This isn't quite, I'm not really interested in this stuff. What on earth have I let myself in for? What I do want to say at the start is what we're going to think about tonight and what God's word says to us is for all of us. Regardless of where we are, what we think about beauty, this, what he has to say to us through his word is for all of us to hear. So, the world's seduction. What does L'Oreal say? What are they trying to seduce us into? What they're saying is that because of our intrinsic value and worth, I deserve luxury. We deserve these products that are going to transform us, transform our lives because we're worth it. We're worth spending money on. I am worth it. The irony is, of course, that L'Oreal is trying to sell us a product to improve how we look. So it's not very accepting, actually, of us as we are. They want to create a better version of ourselves where we have lovely, shiny locks and flawless skin. I'm not worth it, though, staying as I am. It's not accepting of me with my grey hair, with bare skin, with wrinkles and all of my flaws. And what about if the products don't work? What if I don't look any better? Am I less worth it? Less valuable? What does it say about those of us who aren't quite able to cut it as Jennifer Aniston or David Ginola? What does it say then about our value and our worth? And what does the idea of being worth it feed? If I say to myself, I'm worth it, it makes me feel good. And that's okay, isn't it? What's wrong with that? That's all right. It's harmless, isn't it? What does that feed? I'm just going to think about three things very quickly that this idea feeds. First of all, it feeds the cultural god of our time, self-esteem. I'm going to make a huge generalisation here about self-esteem. The idea is that if we feel good about ourselves, then we will avoid lots of adverse outcomes and all sorts of positive life chances will come our way, saying, I'm worth it to myself, or you're worth it, boosts my self-esteem. I feel better about myself. I feel I'm valuable. I'm important. I feel I can do and achieve anything. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Evan Almighty. I really enjoy this movie. This is the main character called Evan Baxter. This photograph is taken from a scene where he's in his bathroom and he's just spent quite a bit of time on personal grooming and actually quite a bit of time removing his nasal hair, which looks very painful. I really do recommend it. But at the end of this scene, he kind of stands there in front of the mirror and he's just become a senator, and his slogan was, I'm going to change the world. And this is his first day that he's about to go into do whatever they do, senators. Standing in front of his mirror, and he says, I am successful, I am powerful, I am handsome, I am happy. I am successful, I am powerful, I am handsome, I am happy. Try and say that fast, it's really tricky. And he stands there and he recites this mantra to himself. Then he goes out to change the world. He is boosting himself by what he's saying. That's the same as L'Oreal. I am worth it and I can do whatever I want. Secondly, it feeds, these flow from each other. It feeds the culture that says, it's all about me. I am the most important. I am the most valuable. I am the most significant. I am worth it. It also feeds a culture of entitlement. So I am worth it, therefore I deserve good things. I deserve to be famous. I deserve to be rich. I deserve to be a celebrity. So can you see that this slogan, this idea of because I'm worth it, which L'Oreal use, actually feeds a whole set of things in our culture, our self-esteem, our self-culture, culture of entitlement. It's starting to deal with questions of value, of significance, of worth by looking inwards, by looking at ourselves, by turning inside to us. We become the answer. L'Oreal sucks us in. It's the world's seduction. I am worth it. So if this is what the world says to us, if this is what L'Oreal says to us, what is God's solution to that? How can we, as Christians, develop a right and true picture of ourselves? What is a biblical perspective on worth, value, and beauty? And how can we live out of that? So we're just going to look at these two passages to help us to think about these two issues, to look at what our response to the worldview that our worth, value, and identity are wrapped up in ourselves and how we view ourselves. And secondly, to think about what is our response to what the worldview on beauty is. And we're going to discover that we find our true worth is held secure in Christ, and that we find true beauty that grows as we are transformed by Christ. L'Oreal says, who I am, my worth, value, and identity is rooted in myself. Let's see what Paul says, turning to Colossians 3 with me, which I think is 1:1-8:4. Look at verse 3 of Colossians 3. Paul says, for you died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. For you died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. So Paul here, having reminded the Colossians earlier on in the letter about the supremacy of Christ, is now encouraging them to live out of who they have become because of the complete saving work of Christ. Paul's response to L'Oreal's I am worth it and the culture of self is to say, you died. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ. You died. How completely opposite of that to what the world says, to what L'Oreal says, is that? L'Oreal says, I am everything. Paul says, you died. Who we are, our sinful selves, our life before we knew Christ and his saving work has gone. Not just gone, it's died. In verse 5 of that passage, he says, put to death. It's really strong language. It's not just kind of a casual letting go of what has been before. It's strong language. It's put to death. You died. Your old behaviours, your old sins, your old attitudes, your old habits, we put them to death. We put them on the cross. You know, it's really easy for me to stand here and say that. It's really easy to read those words. It is so much harder to do it. It is so hard to do it. And I know, you know, even this morning, I was sat there thinking, knowing that God has asked me to lay something again down, to give something up again that I've, you know, should have already done, I don't know how many times. And I feel physically sick at how hard that is for me to do. It is so hard to lay down, to put to death, to put on the cross our old ways, our old life. But this is what God says we have to do. L'Oreal, instead of self being all important, L'Oreal, which is what L'Oreal says, we as children of God put self to death. But then Paul goes on, doesn't he, with these words, these amazing words, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. What precious words are they? We have new life. We have a new self, hidden, secure, held firm with Christ in God. Hidden here doesn't mean something that is kind of hidden, never to be seen again, found, lost, never to be recovered. It means, simply means, we cannot see it at the moment. It's hidden from our sight. We will see it. We have a new life, a new union, fellowship with the exalted Christ. A new life bound completely in and with Christ. Nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. Completely about Jesus. It's about our future hope of eternal life, but also our identity here and now. Unlike L'Oreal's culture of self, we don't look within. We don't look to ourselves for who we are, our value or our worth. We look to Christ and what he has done. Our worth is rooted in him. Our identity is in him. Our value is in him. Safe, firm, secure, unchanging, unshakable. So let's think now about the second issue, about what might be a right view on beauty. What is true beauty? Now, even the word beauty for some of us can be a difficult word to think about. It might be something that we don't relate to or feel that we don't relate to. Another word that I'm going to use a bit is the word glory, which I think has some similar ideas. And as we look at God's word, I think it's a really helpful word to also think about. L'Oreal says, how we look is all important to who we are. We should look beautiful. And if we look beautiful, good things are going to happen to us. But we're not beautiful as we are. We have to conform to a particular image about what beauty is, with no imperfections, no spots, no scars, no facial hair, no grey hair. But the Bible tells us that beauty is God-given. And there are many characters in the Bible, male and female, that are described as beautiful. But we're also told that beauty is fleeting. Christ is our true example of beauty. And his beauty is not in his appearance. In Isaiah 53, it says he had no beauty nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. But his beauty is in who he is. At the beginning of Colossians, Paul says he is the image of the invisible God. His character is perfect and without blemish, reflecting the glory of God. The Bible points to Jesus as all that is beautiful and glorious. So what does this say about our own beauty? Let's look now at 2 Corinthians 3:18, which I think is 1160 if you have lost it in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, there's a lot in this verse which I am not going to attempt to deal with right now. You'll be pleased to hear. And it comes on the end of quite a significant passage as well. So I'm not going to try and deal with all of the context here. You have to trust me that I know what I'm about to say fits with the context that it's in. What I want to focus on is the idea, though, in this verse, that we are being transformed into the likeness or the image of Christ. What Paul is saying here is, as we contemplate Christ, as we gaze upon him, as we dwell in him, as we behold him, to use the language of the ESV, we will be transformed. We will become more and more like him in all his beauty and all his glory. We will be transformed as we take on more and more of his character, his personality. Back in Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience." These are Christ's characteristics. These are Christ's personality. Our beauty, our true beauty, is revealed as we become more Christ-like and radiate or reflect his beauty. You know, it's like a mirror which was broken and now restored again. We were made in the image of God, made to reflect his likeness. But the image was broken. The mirror was broken. The image was marred. But now, because of Jesus, the mirror has been restored, and we can now fully reflect the image of Christ. And I love this phrase where Paul goes on, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. With ever increasing glory. Our beauty grows as we are increasingly transformed. It's not fixed. We will get more beautiful, more glorious as we become more Christ-like. What an amazing hope that is. What a contrast, a countercultural view that we become more glorious, more beautiful as we become more like Christ. I find that amazing in our culture, that where youth has become so important and is so valued over aging, over maturity. It fills me with hope. The most beautiful people I know to the world might be ordinary or plain, but they are truly glorious, truly beautiful because of the life of Christ that radiates out from them. You know, this might be arguable to some of you, but Dave to me is truly beautiful because I see in him the life of Christ reflecting out. You know, I don't want to settle for a set of products that might transform my outward appearance for a fleeting moment, but are never going to do more than paint over to fit an image that will never be good enough. I don't want to strive after something that has already disappeared. Aging, we joke about it, but aging has actually become a real challenge for me. I work in a team, for once, where everybody is younger than me. And my job share partner is actually more than 10 years younger than me. And that really, I have found my heart has really struggled with this. And I could dye my hair. Clearly, that would knock a good 10 years off. I could hang out a bit more than I do with the 412ers. I could pick up on some of their attitudes and their language. Jacob has got a whole set of words that he could teach me that would make me appear younger than I am. I could be a bit more ambitious, and then I would fit in. Then I would fit in with this younger crowd. But how does that sit alongside the idea that Paul talks about, where I will get more glorious, more beautiful as I take on more of Christ's characteristics, as I become more like Christ? How do I hold those things, that as I contemplate Christ more, I will get more beautiful alongside the challenge of working with my younger team? How do I hold those things? I want beauty that is glorious, that radiates from me as Christ dwells in me, that only gets better as I seek to live more and more as he leads and as he directs me. Okay, so we've thought about the way the world seduces us, and we've thought about what God's solution is. So what should our resolution be? What is our resolve going forward? Turn back, if you would, to Colossians 1, where Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Choose to set your minds on Christ. Daily choose to hold fast to Christ. When we are bombarded by everything around us that seeks to seduce us and take us away, set our minds on Christ. Set our hearts on things above. Look upwards to learn how Christ wants us to live. By focusing on him, the things around us, the earthly things that Paul talks about, will dim, will not seem so bright and shiny. Their hold on us will lessen and loosen as we look up to him. We need to be ready to battle the lies and the seduction of this world. We need to know God's truth. As we contemplate Christ, as we spend time in his word, we need to allow it to take root in us, to grow roots, to go deep down in us, to have it fixed in us, in our minds. We need to know it. We need to know it so that we can speak it to ourselves when we are being led down a road. We need to know it so we can speak it to others. We need to know it so we can fire it at the enemy when he is speaking lies to us. Learn Colossians 3:3. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Know it so that you can speak it. It is one of my go-to verses. When I know that I am being led down somewhere, I go to that verse. Learn Colossians 3:18. I haven't got that one yet, but I'm sure I will at some point. We need to know it. We need to be accountable to each other. when I've been seduced into thinking that my worth is found in me, in what I look like or in a jar of face cream, who is going to speak truth to me in that? You know, I do have friends whose lives are so countercultural that they challenge me so often when I am being seduced by the world, when I'm wondering how much I can justify, how much it's worth spending on a jar of face cream. They are talking about having a homeless guy live with them. We need people to challenge us, and I'm really thankful for the people that take that very seriously in my life. You know who you are. But we need to allow the Spirit to transform us, to become more glorious as we set our hearts and minds on Christ, as we put to death our old selves. It's not going to happen overnight, but let's not be daunted by it either. Paul wants to encourage us in it. He wants to give us a vision of Christ that encourages and spurs us on. So don't be daunted. Instead, let's step out into the amazing hope that we find our true worth held secure in Christ, and we find true beauty that grows as we are transformed by Christ. So, what's my resolution? I'm worth it. You're worth it. We're worth it. No. That did not work. That does say in very large writing, He is worth it. Jesus, He is worth all of our worship and all of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for those amazing words, that our lives are held secure, are hid in Christ, never to diminish, never to be robbed, firm, secure, steadfast. Thank you for the work on the cross, your work on the cross that makes that possible. Thank you for the hope that it means of life with you forever. Thank you that it means that our identity is in you and not in the things around us that draw us away, the lies of the world. Thank you that we know that we are secure in you. And Lord, when we find it hard, when we find ourselves drawn away by the world, when we start to hear the voices of the world that tells us our worth is elsewhere, would you help us to lift our eyes up to you, that we might contemplate you more, that we might dwell in you more, that we might love you more, that we might follow you more closely, that we might know what it is to allow you to guide and lead our lives, that we might be more and more transformed into your likeness, because you are worth it. Amen.